The parasha is Toldot. In the parasha of Toldot, you have this interesting story that about Yaakov and Rivka and how they duped Yitzchak somehow. And the critical psukim, one of which is not on the sheet, it's my fault, but you'll know it when I read it to you. And the second pasuk is on the sheet. The pasuk I'm referring to is that the Torah says that when Yaakov, remember that Yaakov was convinced by his mother to fool his father. And in order to fool his father couldn't see. So when he came to see him, his father said, "Who are you? Who are you?" So that's Perek Kav Zayin, pasuk. Pasuk Yudchet, Vayavo El Aviv, Yaakov, of course, dressed up so that he could fool his father into thinking he's Esav. Vayomer Avi, he said, "Hey, Dad." Vayomer Hineni, and he responded, "I am here. Mi ata bini?" So that's already a question. You know, people with very finely honed literary ability would say, "Well, why did he say mi ata bini? After all, he Yitzchak sent his son Esav to bring him food, and here, even if he couldn't see, somebody came into the room bearing food. So who would you think that is? Wouldn't you think that that's the person you sent to get the food and bring it? Why did he say mi ata bini?" So there are people, the commentaries, who say that from this statement mi ata bini, you understand immediately that Yitzchak knew exactly who was there. Right? You know, it's like, why would he say mi ata bini unless he knew that it wasn't the son that he sent? So for the son that he sent, he wouldn't say that. In any event, the next pasuk, pasuk yutet, which again is not on the sheet, Vayomer Yaakov el Aviv, Anochi Esav bechorecha. Anochi Esav bechorecha. Now, I am Esav, your oldest son. So this is like a triple kind of lie. You know, first of all, saying Anochi instead of saying Ani. You know that Ani is the common first person independent plural in Hebrew. Like people, regular people talk to each other, they say Ani. Ani holechle, Ani osekach. But special people, I don't want to say the Rebbeinu Shlomo, but special people say Anochi. You know, like, I'm the really important one. I'm the son who's going to make it. You know, this is like Anochi. The second lie is Esav. I'm certainly not Esav. And the third lie is Bechorecha, because if I remember correctly, Esav has already sold the Bechorah to Yaakov. So here's Yaakov. He's got at least two lies, and maybe three, in these three words, which is not bad. You know, this is what Yaakov says. Now, Rashi finds it difficult to put up with this. And Rashi says, Anochi Esav Bechorecha, Anochi Hamevi Lecha. You know, this is Rashi's trick. You parse the words differently. It's not a complete phrase, but you make it into two phrases. Anochi, da 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 da. What is Anochi? I'm the one who's bringing you food. Anochi, Hamevi Lecha. Ve'esav hu bechorecha. I mean, this is about as unlikely a pshat in the pasuk as anybody could imagine, right? And Rashi does it again. If you look at the pesukim on the sheet, Vayigash Yaakov Yitzchak Aviv Vayimushehu Vayomer Hakol Kol Yaakov Vayadayim Yidei Esav. So either Yitzchak was a fool, or Yitzchak was telling Yaakov, I know what is happening. I know what you're doing. In other words, Yitzhak couldn't see, but when Vayimusheni, I mean, you think he felt the pelts of sheepskin on the arms of Yaakov, and he said, "Oh, that's Esau." Vayomer Hakol Kol Yaakov, something impossible. Right? It's impossible that Esau would have been Hakol Kol Yaakov. Vayadayim Yedei Esav. So you could say, I think you could say that Yaakov knew exactly what was happening. Yaakov knew exactly. Yitzchak. I'm going to keep doing that. I do that all the time. Yitzchak knew exactly what was happening. I mean, why would he say a kol kol Yaakov? Vayadayim Yedei Esav. Velo hikiro. Pasuk kav gimel. Velo hikiro. Kayu yedav ki Yedei Esav. Achiv. Sirot. Vayivarchei. Okay. That this pasuk sort of runs afoul of my interpretation, but we can figure it out. We can say something. I mean, this question that goes on in the whole parasha, like, what did Yitzchak know? Was he blind and simply, you know, had some kind of aging disease, or was it that Rivka didn't quite get what was going on? I mean, you have to decide what your position is when you go to interpret these psukim. We're not going to get to that so quickly, but there's another point here. Again, pasuk kav dalet. You see, pasuk kav dalet vayomer ataze b'nei Esav. And then Yaakov, to really, obviously, I mean, you know, he knows, I think, that Yaakov knows exactly who's sitting in front of him, which is why he asks again, Ha'ata zeh b'ni Esav v'yomer ani. Who said ani?
Yaakov.
Yaakov again. He not only lied once, but he lied twice in answering the same question two times. This has nothing to do with the fact that Yitzchak probably, I feel, when I read the parasha, I feel that Yitzchak knew what was going on. But that doesn't mean that Yaakov knew that Yitzchak knew. Yaakov himself is lying. And what does Rashi say? Vayomer Ani. Rashi, you see the Rashi in Pasuk Kav Dalet? Vayomer Ani. It's on the sheet. Velo Amar Ani Esav. He didn't say, I am Esav. He said, I am. Like he was quoting Shakespeare or something. I am who I am. Now, you figure it out. I mean, that's what Rashi says. So Rashi twice refuses to let us think that Yaakov lied directly. I mean, he ended up lying. I guess you would say it's a sort of indirect lying. It's like lying by some implication, but that's what Rashi says twice. He doesn't like it. I mean, this question about whether the Ovos could lie, and that the lie would be printed in the Torah or become part of the Torah, is an interesting question. Right? I mean, that the question itself is interesting. I don't think there's an answer to the question, but there's no doubt that Rashi. You have to remember that Yaakov in the Kabbalistic system, based on a pasuk in Micha, Yaakov equals Emet. Titein Emet li Yaakov. Yaakov is Emet. Emet equals Torah. Now, without knowing anything about the Kabbalah, but just accepting this kind of these equations. Right, so you have a problem. How can Yaakov tell a lie and be emet? So Rashi answers the question. He somehow wanted to confuse his father Yitzchak, but he did not want to actually lie, and so he said something which was the truth, but could be misinterpreted by his father. Right? He said, I am Yaakov, I'm not Esav. But he said it in a way that his father would think, I am Esav. Right? That's Rashi. So this has to do with a question about what is the Torah? What is the Torah? We know that that the Torah, the Rashi says, Rashi teaches that the Torah from Bereishit Bara Elokim until HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem was in the hands of the people even before Matan Torah. They had that part of the Torah. If they had that part of the Torah, it's not clear, Rashi doesn't explain, who wrote it? Who gave it? How was it given? So, let's say it was given by the Avos. The Avos, you know, the Chazal say the Avos kept all the mitzvot. They call it kept all the mitzvot because they intuited what God wanted. So maybe they were able to tell the story of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in a manner that would be acceptable to heaven. But I don't really know what I'm saying. But I don't want you to think that you don't understand what I'm saying. I don't understand what I'm saying either. So we're more or less equal. In any event, there's a very interesting assessment of all of this in the Pri Tzadik, which I want to look at. Now, it's a little bit long-winded, and so you just have to bear with me. I will try to tell jokes from time to time. You see the Pri Tzadik, and then after the Pri Tzadik, we'll learn the Hamek Dover, where we have time. And the Pri Tzadik, remember, Rav Tzadik HaKohen was a Rebbe in Lublin, right, and he came after the Torah Semes, and he was not. I think that he was not particularly successful as a Rebbe. He didn't have so many Hasidim to bother him, and since he didn't have too many Hasidim to bother him, he was able to write a lot, and the stuff that he wrote is something that we inherited, right? If you have the patience. If you have the patience, and it's usually worthless. So right, he says this first part. The first part. Well, I have it here. A different. Will you be able to follow if I read it from a different piece of paper? I'll read it from here. Upirish Rashi lo amar ani esab ala ani v'hu mipnei shekan I efshal letareitz diburo kemo shekadav Rashi b'mala anochi amevi v'esab bechorecha. L'chaim Peresha lo amar mehai tama ani esav. So here, the first thing is he reviews the two psukim that we just learned, with Rashi's commentary. And he says the second time around, he couldn't say ani, but like in the first time he said, esav bechorecha, that he divided it into two psukim. And here it's a little bit different, but he says, the second sentence, right? The second line, the end of the line. Ach mikol makom kasheh hamemela mishtameh ani esav kevan sheishivo ani al sheilato atazebeni esav. So he says, well, really, it's sort of the Rashi says the same thing in both cases. Gam beemet yesh lavin lama she'alo Yitzchak sheinit. So he says, now, I have a question. How come Yitzchak asked twice? I mean, he asked already, "Who are you?" And he told him, "I'm Esav." However you figure out what the exact answer was. Why did he answer again? God bemet yesh lavim lama shalom Yitzchak sheinit, the end of the third line. Halok var amar lo anochi Esav begomer vim chashdu. Lemishane mipnei hashalom kidei sheyikabel habrachot mayu il sheilato sheinit. And if in fact Yitzchak suspected who? Yaakov, of lying to him, because Yaakov wanted to get the bracha. So what's the point of asking again? You know, he's going to lie again. If Yitzchak did not confront Yaakov, but so why did he ask him? Why did he ask him again? There's such a thing in the world left. You like that? He said, after all, Yitzchak knew Rashi, right? Yitzchak knew Rashi. It doesn't mean it is true that Yitzchak lived long before Rashi, but he knew Rashi in the sense that he knew that it could be interpreted that way. Anochi and Esav Bechorecha, the first answer. And therefore, he had to ask again. Right? Because the first time was not conclusive. So he had to ask again. The Kasha lo sheni, tata zebin Esav. Umishasho be'etzba'o be'sheilato. Shekein merez lachon zeh b'chol makom. The word zeh, it has a special meaning. Shemar ebe etzba'o zeh, it's a dectic particle. The only thing I remember from my years of study of grammar. Dectic particle, a particle of pointing. Right? Zeh doesn't mean, it's not a general kind of, yeah, that's it. It's rather, this is it. This very particular thing is it. And that's in the Kabbalah, they make a big deal. The Medrash. I mean, the Kabbalah often follows the Medrash in these things. So the Medrash talks about Zeh, likes Zeh. The Kamosha Darshuba Amar V'Kol Zeh Inenu Shoveli. They bring some proofs to this idea of Zeh. So let's skip. Skip a little bit. Two lines. V'Kashe. You see V'Kashe? This thing is 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Should have numbered them. The eighth line, right in the middle. Right in the middle. This is a good thing to follow. A good sentence. V'kashe, the pre-tzadik says. Echotzi Yaakov shebinato emet, davar she'ino. I mean, etzelo yeh, even with Rashi, it turns out that Yaakov was not telling the truth. He was misrepresenting himself. Right, that's what he means. Is Yaakov Shemidato Emet, right? Yaakov Shemidato Emet means like when you say that Avraham Avinu was Chesed. What do you mean? You mean that he invented Chesed. In other words, the parameters of anything that exists in the world, any kind of ethical notion, are connected to people who did it. Like, how much Chesed could you do? So it's as much as the most chesed that was ever done. So the person who created chesed was Avraham Avinu, right? When the angels came along to visit him, he ran out and he brought them in and he gave them food to eat. So he invented chesed in the world of the Torah. Before that, there wasn't anybody who did that, right? And so Yaakov was the man of Emes. He brought Emes into the world, which is why you could say that Yaakov was the man of Torah. I mean, we'll see later on, right? Yaakov was the one who had a family. I think I said that last time. Yaakov had a family, right? Which means that they were in. In order to have a family, you had to have a notion of Emet. Before that, the children of Avraham Avinu, and there were many children like Yishmael and Yitzchak, but besides that, there were the Bnei Keturah. None of them were like Avraham Avinu. The only way to stay would be to be like Avraham Avinu, and that's what he's going to lead us into that idea. But once Yaakov came along, once the Torah came along, there was an independent way of measuring goodness or the way you should be. So even if you sinned, you still were somehow connected to that emet of the Torah, and you didn't lose your standing in the family. Didn't matter how terrible you were as an individual, right? Reuven, Shimon, Levi were all, you know, sent away from leadership. They were not; they could not continue as the leaders and then Yehuda became the person who saved the family physically, right? Shimon was in jail in Egypt, right? And Yehud and Binyamin was taken down to Egypt under the protection of Yehuda. So Yehuda had saved the family physically. He saved the family physically, but Yaakov saved the family genetically because he, you know, once you were a son of Yaakov, that never could change. Whereas for Avraham Avinu was not that way. Yishmael had to prove himself all the time. In any event, he's going to talk about that. V'chein kan, v'shisho be'etzba b'sheilato, v'mkein kevan sheshivo ani mevo'ar, ani mevo'ar, ani Esav. V'kashe, echotzi Yaakov shebinato emet v'sheino. Okay? V'nir'eh ha'inyan. This is the beginning of his answers. He says, how could it be? That's his basic question. How could it be that Yaakov is a liar? You see that line? It's a great line. This is a line in the Medrash. It says there are people in the Tanakh, in the Torah, who have very nice names, but they're very ugly people. Right? Who are they? Who are those people? Yishmael ve'Esav. Yishmael, look what's the name Yishmael, Shomayael. Esav, what is Esav? Ose Ritzon Osav. I mean, those are nice names. But their ma'asim are mechorim. They live an ugly life, these two people, Yishmael and Esav. V'hu kemo she'amarnu, Yitzchak, another statement from the Midrash, Yitzchak nitater b'Avraham. V'Avraham nitater b'Yitzchak, nitater, atara, is a crown. Right? So there's this idea in the Midrash that Yitzchak somehow is crowned with some midah of Avraham. And Avraham is nitater b'Yitzchak. The Shleimut Avraham Avinu haya kishezacha lemidat hayirah pachad Yitzchak. In other words, Avraham Avinu somehow was completed by Yitzchak, because Yitzchak had this midah of pachad Yitzchak. Pachad Yitzchak, fear, is the midah of yirah. Is the midah of Yira, which Avraham Avinu didn't have, because he had the midah of Ava. Right? You can't have the, if you're totally consumed by Avas Hashem, so then there's no room for Yira. So it was missing in Avraham. So it was made up for Avraham by Yitzchak, who is called Pachad Yitzchak, the Moshe Nemar B'Nisayon HaAkeidah. Ki ata yadati, the pasuk says with the akeda, ata yadati ki reilu kibata. Avsha saka Avraham Avinu haya ava va'esek. I'm sorry. Avsha esek Avraham Avinu haya ava va'zrizut b'mitzvot. Right? He was ava. He was ava. How do you know? It's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Avraham or avi. Right? That's what the pasuk says. The Rambam takes it absolutely literally. He says that Avraham was the man of Avas Hashem. And that's why it says that God loved Avraham. But this is this idea that there is this reciprocity in the relationship between man and God, / woman. Right? I mean, there's this idea of reciprocity. When you say God loves Avraham, it's because Avraham loves God. Avraham had that midah. This Avraham Ohavi doesn't just mean I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, love Avraham, but it also means that Avraham loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zrizut vayashkem Avraham baboker. When Avraham was commanded to take his son to the Akedah, he got up early in the morning, from which the Gemara Pesachim says that's called zrizut. Zrizut, let me say, it's a quality. It's not just an accident, like you don't have a watch or you don't have the right time. It's a quality that could be applied to every mitzvah. You know, every mitzvah that we're taught to be zrizim. So if you have to make a bracha on a lulav on Sukkot, so you know that the zman for making a bracha is all day. You can make a bracha all day, but we don't do that. We're not going to make a bracha late in the day. We'll make the bracha as soon as we can. I mean, you know, within the regulations of other things that might be going on. But that's called zrizut. It's a quality that relates to mitzvot. It's a quality raised. And who was the generator of that quality? Was Avraham Avinu, because he was Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. Avsha Sak Avraham Avinu. Aya Avav Azri Esek. Aya Avav Azri Zut Be Mitzvot. Asay Sheba Mikoch Ava. Va Esek Shel Yitzchak. Aya Hayira. Vishinetater Be Midat Yitzchak. Hayirah, v'uketer nishma azihirot b'mitzvot lo ta'aseh. That nishma, and then zihirut, he was careful about mitzvot lo ta'aseh. He didn't come close to them. V'zeu shenemar ekev asher shabata b'koli. A pasuk later on in the parasha, ekev asher shabata b'koli. V'chein shleimut Yitzchak avinu lav shalom. And also Yitzchak achieved this kind of shleimut. How? Shleimut means completeness, like as you could be as much a person as possible. Kshenitater k'Avraham, when he received the crown of Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak was crowned with Avraham. V'nitkalel b'midato ha'ava v'azrizut b'mitzvat aseh v'keter naaseh, right? About the naaseh and the nishma. V'kevan sheyada Avraham Avinu shei Shleimuto yeh kisheyitater b'midat Yitzchak ha'pachad v'yirah v'shmiyah b'kol Hashem li'zaher b'mitzvot lo ta'aseh kara she'im b'no yishma'el. And that's why Avraham Avinu knew that he would need to be completed by Yitzchak. He would have to have the midot of Yitzchak, which he couldn't have because he was so completely consumed by Ava. So he said he recalled Hashem b'no Yishmael al Shem Shomer Imrael. The pasuk says he heard the words of God. V'Yitzchak sheyada sheshleimuto yekesh yitatev midat Avraham Avinu midat avaz rizut b'mitzvot. So Yitzchak understood that he needed to be completed by the midot of ahava, of love, and rizut of energetically going for the mitzvot. Karash shem beno Esav oseh ritzon Esav. So he called his son Esav oseh ritzon Esav. So you remember he's explaining what it says in the Midrash. What does it say in the Midrash? Do you remember? The first Midrash, that they have nice names, even though they don't act in accordance with those nice names. So he says, Karashem b'no Esav, aser etzon osav, mizeh hatam, av sheyada Yitzchak sheyakov ish tam, yoshev oalim, haya savur, sheosek b'torah utvilah, ve'eth, they sab osek b'mitzvot ha'maaseh b'mitzvot aseh b'korbanot. So that's what the pasuk means, right? That's what the pasuk means. Why did Yitzchak like Esav? Why did he like Esav? Because Esav was pragmatic. He was doing the mitzvahs. He was acting out the will of God. Whereas Yaakov was hiding out from the army and just davening and learning Torah all the time. So Yitzchak, as he understood it, Esav was really the inheritor of the mantle because he was the one who was going to do the mitzvot and stay away from the averot. Esav osek mitzvot ma'aseh b'mitzvot aseh b'korbanot. That's Esav, who was involved in mitzvot and korbanot. U'mishum hachi ahav Yitzchak et Esav. And therefore, the Brit Tzadik says, Yitzchak had a good reason for loving Esav, because he saw a certain kind of potential in him that reflected his name. She'yasavu shu yekimo she'yitater Yitzchak midat Avraham hazrizut b'maaseh keter naaseh. So he says, just like he, Yitzchak, had to be completed by Avraham, or had to somehow accept the qualities of Avraham. וזה עניין מה שאמרו במדרש רבה בשעה שבא כי הקרא השם אלוקיך לפניך, God appeared to you, אמר יצחק, יודע אני שאין יסב, עשב מזכיר שמו של הקדוש ברוך הוא, אין זה עשב אלא יעקב היין שם. So the Medrash says that since God's name was mentioned, it must be Yaakov and not Esav. Kshay Ramban, Eloha ya Esav Rasha b'nei Aviv, v'lava lo yaskir shem shamayim. So the Ramban already asked the question. After all, why was Yitzchak surprised when Esav mentioned God's name? After all, Yitzchak thought that Esav was a tzaddik. So if he's a tzaddik, why shouldn't he mention God's name? And therefore, אך לפי האמור שהיה סבור שעסק יעקב אבינו תורה ותפילה ועסק עשב מעשה המצוות בשם הוויה הוא תורה כמו שאמרו. In other words, you didn't expect him to say God's name because he was involved in מצוות, whereas יעקב was involved in תורה ותפילה. And again he says בשם הוויה הוא תורה כמו שאמרו קודש ברוך הוא תורה יקרא שהתורה שמותיו של הקדוש ברוך הוא. The Ramban says that the Torah somehow represents, is all God's name. It's all God. Like if you knew how to read the Torah, if you knew how to read the words in the Torah, you would come out with God's name all the time. וכמו שנלמד לברכת התורה לפניה מדכתיב כי שם השם יקרא וכן דרשו בכל המקום אשר אזכיר את שמי על עוסק בתורה. אלא אין מורה על מידת יצחק שהוא תפילה שבאברהם אבינו לא מצינו שהתפלל על עצמו ואף על בנים לא התפלל כמו שאמר בזוהר הקדוש. So this was an invention of Yaakov's, to daven for yourself, daven for what you want, ורק על סדום התפלל אברהם אבינו, ונקרא תפילתו עמידה, והוא מפני שעמד בכוח, כיוון שאינו נוגע בדבר כמו ויעמוד פנחס ויפלל שעשה פלילות עם קונו. פלילות means to aggravate the situation. וכמו שאמרו, I know I'm skipping a little bit, but I'm on the last line. The last line, מה שאין כן יצחק שיתפלל על עצמו, על עצמו. ונקראה תפילתו שיחה בפני השם ישבות שיחו להגיד צערו, אומר לבבו. This was an invention of Yaakov Avinu. וזהו שנאמר השם אלוקיך שם של תורה ותפילה, ומזה הוכיח יצחק אבינו שאין זה עשיו אלא יעקב, כמו שאמרו במדרש רבה של מידת יעקב ושבע עולים, שהוא סבור שעסק עשיו השתדלות במעשה. So I just want to tell you that what the pre-tzaddik is teaching us is, if you ever thought about it, how come Rivka had twins? How come she had twins? Avraham had two sons from two wives. So it made sense to say that the two sons were different one from the other. It made sense to say that one is in and one is out. That didn't bother anybody. But the twins somehow are always considered to have some close relationship to each other. The twins that were born to Yitzchak and Rivka, where is their close relationship? So the pre-tzaddik says, the way he sees it is that they really go together. They're really the same. But they represent a distinction between Torah and Tefillah on the one hand, and Kiyum HaMitzvot on the other hand. It was Kiyum HaMitzvot takes time, and Tefillah and Torah also takes time. And what the Psukim are teaching us, what the Psukim are teaching us is that each of these aspects were able to complete something about Yitzchak. About Yitzchak, he had two sons who each of them emphasized a certain aspect in the religiosity of people. Like, what are we supposed to do? So Yitzchak, who himself was the inventor of Mincha, right? He invented Basur Basadeh, he invented he invented mincha, but the idea that you could dedicate your life to tefillah, that belonged to Yaakov, tefillah and Torah. And the idea that you could dedicate your life to doing mitzvot, that belonged to Esav. So when he said, who are you? He didn't mean that he didn't know who was sitting in front of them. He said, what he meant was, what is it that you are representing? What are you bringing to the table? You're bringing Torah and Tefillah, or you're bringing mitzvot aseh and mitzvot lo taseh? So if you look again, second line. Umizeh hochiach Yitzchak Avinu she'enze Esav ele Yaakov kimo she'amu b'medrash Rabbah she'midat Yaakov yoshei b'olim she'yas zavur she'esek Esav ha'ishtadlut b'maaseh ka'amur v'zeh she'amar kol Yaakov kol Hashem kol tefillah she'mishum adni. So that what he saw before him, right, he was able to, he didn't have to feel around to know if it was Yaakov or Esav. It was enough for Yitzchak to be able to test whether Torah and Tefillah were sitting in front of him, or mitzvot, kiyum mitzvot, the kiyum mitzvot that say was sitting in front of him. And therefore, you see his opinion of the pre-tzaddik that Yitzchak knew all the time. Kol vav, kol Torah. We'll go to the end here. Four lines from the bottom. Ubehemet ita b'midrash Rabbah al Masha Amar vayarach edreyach begadav. We'll see that pasuk in a minute, right? That Yaakov was able, Yitzchak was able to smell something in the clothing that Yaakov was wearing. Now, what should he be smelling? He should be smelling Esav, because that's who his mother dressed him as. But the Medrash says, "Vayirach adrech begadav kigon Yosef mishita v'darash begadav." Milashan bogedav, and there's a drasha that says that the word bigadav can also be written or read as bogdav, those who deny you, who take a stand against you. Va'alzeh eshivo ani shani beemet baal maasim shema shehergashta baalavushim yidei Esav. Masay mitzvotu mireach bogidav shepish e Yisrael meleim mitzvot kirimon. He says no. He says what you smell is the enemy. The enemy is Esav, and even people who do mitzvot can be the enemy of the future. It says v'zesha amar ani, and Yaakov answered ani shani. So again, I think the discourse changes under the auspices of the pre-tzaddik, that Yaakov and Esav end up in conflict one with the other, but they actually represent the difficulty that a person has in following the path that the Torah sets us out on. So if we look now at that pasuk, right? Pasuk Kavav, in the beginning, back to the Vayom Elav Yitzchak Aviv Gishana Ushkali Beni, come close and give me something to drink. Vayigash Vayishaklo. And he came close and he kissed him. We're talking about Yaakov, right? Ve'yarech edreach be'gadav v'yibarcheyu. And he smelled the smell of his clothing and he blessed him. Vayomer, re'ei reach b'ni, behold, the smell of my son, k'reach sadeh Asher Be'erecha Hashem is like the smell of the Sadeh Asher Be'erecha Hashem. I don't know, it's hard to know what the reference is, but let's look at the Rashi. Rashi says, Vayomer, Pasuk Kavdalet. Pasuk Kavzayin, I'm sorry. Vayare. You see the Rashi? Alo ein reyach ra yoter mishetef ha'izim elam lameid shenichnesa imo reyach gan Eden. He says, it's a little strange. After all, you would expect the smell to be the smell of the sheep. This is probably not such a great smell. Elam lameid shenichnesa imo reyach gan Eden. What does that mean? I mean, I know it's in the Medrash, but what does it mean to say Nichnasa imo reach gan Eden? You know, in other words, you say everybody knows what reach gan Eden is, right? It just if I smelled it, I'd know it right away. I know what reach gan Eden is. So that's what Rashi says. Kireach sadeh shebercho Hashem. Shenatan bo reach tov, a good smell that Yaakov had. V'ze sedei tapuchim. Sedei tapuchim, what's a sedei tapuchim?
An apple orchard.
If that was the answer to the question, I wouldn't have asked it. Yes, it's true. Avram says, he translated for us, but what is a sedei tapuchim? It's the Eitz Hadas. Right, the Eitz Hadas was an apple tree, according to some opinions. Right, so would you say that where the Arizal on Friday night went into the Chakal Tapuchin, in the Sadeh of Tapuchin, in Tzfat, it's still there. It's right. You could all go when you have a chance. So that's what he's talking about. He's talking about before Bechira, before we had to own up to ourselves. Right? That was the smell. It was the smell of Gan Eden. It was the smell of Gan Eden. So if you look at let's look quickly at the Netziv. We'll look at the Netziv, not so quickly. Vayivarcheyu, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Look at the Pasuk again. Vayigash, Vayishaklo, Vayarach Edreach Begadav, Vayivarcheyu. Vayarach Edreach Begadav, Vayivarcheyu. So the Netziv says this. You see, you could follow along. Lefi Apshat. Isher chelo al asher haya mehane oto meareh asher mitchila lo chashav kazot ela lehanot mima'achalo. That first he thought they would only have pleasure from the food that he brought, but then the chiddush was that he also had pleasure from the smell. V'hana'at hareach, then it seems, says the pleasure of smell. Who mashiv nefesh yoter mihana at machal, and the smell gets into your soul, the nice smell gets into your soul even better than food, than the pleasure of food. Ukemo kein asporno al pi agmara de brachos ezehu davar shaneshama nehane mimenu velo haguf. Yesh hava mina sheze areyach, that it's the smell that is even better than what the body gets. Amnam ba'asher b'lisafek b'rega ze kvar chala al Yitzchak shefa ruach hakodesh sharei something. One second, I may have written it. No, one second. I don't remember what that is. Again, we'll read it again. Is there a reach? The reach. A number Asher b'lisa fake berega zek var chala al yitzak shefa ruach hakodesh harei. Something amar habracha ve'itein lecha v'gomer al kochcha yesh lanu lamar shebazeh hareach u'bedvarav eile ra'a reach b'ni haya inyan eloki. Mishum hachi darshu b'sanhedrin deloze reach begadav reach bogidav. Right, you see this drasha reach begadav reach bogidav. This is the same drasha that the pre-tzaddik quoted when he was trying to explain why Esav had to disappear. Why, even though his name was positive, his actions were negative. והכוונה בזה כמו שביארנו שעיקר הברכות היה על גמילת חסד הנעשה בדעת אנושי ולא לשם שמיים. That the bracha was about things that you can do, that people do, but they're not done for Shem Shemayim, for the will of heaven. V'nei bi'arnu, b'sefer b'midbar, de gemilas chasodim nimshal l'reach tov, u'v'siman, b'sefer shir ha'shirim, yesh arbe mikraot b'ze, v'yein sham b'tam ha'davar, u'b'sefer shmot, v'chei b'sefer dvarim, נתבאר דקטורת של בית המקדש עיקרו בא להזכיר לפני השם זכות קבילת חסדם של ישראל. וידוע בבית המקדש מכונה בשם שדה, כפיו של יצחק, ואחי פירוש בית הרם יונסון כאן. ואם כן, כך המשך הכתוב, וירך את ריח בגדיו. Which means, according to the Tziv Rabbi Ruach HaKodesh, Gedulat Gemilat Chesed Shel Bogdav Shenaaseh Lo L'Shem Shamayim V'zeh Lefi L'Shon HaAgadah HaNal. Who is the one who is acting out the mitzvahs but not L'Shem Shamayim? That's Esav. That's Esav. So that's why Rashi is right. When Rashi says Ani, he said Ani. Why did Yaakov say Ani? Because Yitzchak knew that he knew who he was. And Yaakov wanted to explain what he was doing there. And so what he was doing there, according to the Tziv, was saying to Yitzchak, look, you made a mistake. You wanted to give the bracha to Esav because he was doing nice things. He was doing the mitzvot in the Torah. But you have to understand that sometimes the people who do the mitzvot are bogdav, right from the word bigadav. They're bogdav, they're their enemy, which the pre-tzaddik agreed with. He said that's the pshat in the medrash, that says sometimes the names are very nice, but the actions are not so nice. When you say the actions are not nice, it didn't mean you went around and did bad things. But you did good things, maybe, but it wasn't L'Shem Shamayim. It wasn't because God directed you to do those good things. And then he says, "V'ra'ei b'ruach HaKodesh gedulat gemilat chasadim shel bogdav shenaseh lo L'Shem Shamayim." V'zeh lefi l'shon ha'agadah ha'nal. Be'er acher, yesh l'anumah, there's another way of looking at it. The mitzvahs ha'naseh b'koch ha'nefesh of Yisrael, heima tochiyot nefesh Yisrael. Okay, we can stop here. The important thing that I'm trying to say, is that there is in the language of Hasidut, a birur. You know, there's a kind of a clarification. It didn't have to be that way, but that's the way it was. What didn't have to be that way? It did not have to be that Yaakov and Esav could not forge a common ground with which to build the future. It didn't have to be that way. They were twins. And according to the Medrash and the Netziv and the Pre-Tzaddik, right? The Netziv and the Pre-Tzaddik are more or less contemporary. According to all of these sources, the Medrash, the Netziv, the Pre-Tzaddik, there was this kind of awakening to the fact that Esav was not able to fulfill his potential. He was not able to fulfill his potential of becoming the doer of the mitzvot, the keeper of the crown of Esav and Lotazeh, as the pre tzaddik says. And that is because sometimes you can look like you're a tzaddik, but you're not. You're really the enemy of the mitzvot. And the way that you are the enemy is by sort of enticing people into thinking that you're doing the right thing. So that Yaakov, when Yaakov said, Ani, according to the Hamek Dovar, and also according to the Pre-Tzaddik, when Yaakov said, Ani, he meant, I am the only one. I am the only one. It's true that it could have been different. It could have been that Yitzchak Ohevet Esav Ki Tzayed Befiv. What is Tzayed Befiv according to the original idea? Well, you have all these mitzvot. In reality, you have to do shechita, and then you have to do kashering the meat, and then you have to cook it in a certain way. There's the Tzayed Befiv. I mean, he was doing these mitzvot all the time. Whereas Yaakov was drawn to the Ohel, the Ohel of Torah, the Ohel of Tefillah. He was drawn in that direction. So Yitzchak felt that there should be some way of combining this enterprise, that Yitzchak, that Yaakov and Esav could work together to build the future. That was Yitzchak's position, that he was not like Avraham. And he wouldn't have to send away one of his sons who would be unfit to carry on the tradition. Yitzchak was an olat tmima, right? That's what Chazal say. He was the pure sacrifice. He did not, he only saw the goodness in things. He only saw the potential in things. And so when he called Esav to get a bracha, it wasn't because he didn't know about Yaakov. It was rather that he had confidence in Yaakov, that Yaakov would not change. Yaakov would be as he was, right? But he made a mistake. He did not realize that the time of Bogdav had come about, and that there was no longer really an Esav who could be made into a person who could do this partnership with Yaakov. And so Yaakov, when he said to him, who are you? He said, Ani. Ani meaning, there's only me. There is nobody else. Right? If you think that Esav could be a partner in this grand design, that's really not possible. That's really not possible, because only Yaakov was the one who accepted from Yitzchak, right, the idea of prayer, personal prayer, etc. So that I think that this idea, I mean, the whole idea is like, you know, if Esav was really unimportant, and if Esav was really a bad fellow, as Rashi teaches us, then the whole story doesn't really make any sense. Why couldn't Rivka confront Yitzchak and say to Yitzchak, look, you're making a mistake. It's Yaakov, not Esav. Because Yitzchak would have said, there's always hope. We could always try. We could always make it, you know, try to improve things. And Yaakov had to show Yitzchak, according to these various ideas and commentaries, Yaakov was the one who had to show Yitzchak that there was no hope, that there could never be Esav in the family that was established by Abraham, continued by Yitzchak, and now would be expanded by Yaakov. That Esav had no place in that family. And that's also maybe the answer to the question, you know, that Cholzot. You know, the Zohar says that the most difficult parasha in the Torah The most difficult parasha in the Torah is the Perek Lamed Vav in Bereishis, which is the parasha of Alufei Esav. You know, the Alufim, they're like the kings that came from Esav. There's a whole list of names which you may have slept through the last time you were in shul and they read that parasha. So the Zohar says that that's the most difficult parasha in the Torah, because every other parasha in the Torah has pshat and sod. Pshat and sod, because you can read the pasuk and make sometimes sense out of it. The only parasha in the Torah that doesn't make any sense on the level of pshat, because it has seemingly meaningless information, like who cares who the kings of Edom war or Esau. I mean, what difference does it make to us today? Why would it be in the Torah? So that means that the only interpretation, the only legitimate interpretation of that parsha is Sod, because Kabbalah can make something out of nothing, right? But usually there's also pshat. But in this case, there is no pshat, right? It's the same thing that people say about Shira Shirin, right? That Shira Shirin, Rabbi Akiva said that if everything is Kodesh, so Shira Shirin is Kodesh Kodoshim. Kodesh Kodoshim, the sanctity of sanctities. Why? Because Shira Shirin doesn't have pshat. Shira Shirin sounds like a love story between like the king or a man and a woman, but actually it's about the love between God and Knesset Yisrael. So if it's a love story between God and Knesset Yisrael, so that means again there's no pshat. It was, if you just read the words and translate them, you don't get anything. You don't get credit. Like it's no Talmud Torah. But you have to say that it's Knesset Yisrael and a Kodesh Baruch. So there is this idea. There is the idea that there are even parashiyot, right? Perek Lamed Vav in Bereishit or Shira Shirim, where there's no pshat. There's no pshat. So certainly, in our case, we see that pshat has to be at least these great commentators, right? The Netziv and the Pri Tzadik, who are sort of contemporary. They thought that there's got to be a real message. There's got to be something real besides a story about the good people and bad people. And the real here had to do with the forging of the family of Yisrael. Had to do with the break between Yaakov and Esau, right? Which had to happen. It had to be there somewhere. But we don't see it. We don't see it in the Torah plainly. Okay, have a good Shabbos.
You could say then that in some tells me, Yitzhak is saying, are you B'ni Esav? You say, I'm going to fulfill the role of Esav because he can't do it.
That's what you say.
Is that sort of what
could be. They say it about Ani. Vayomer Ani. I am the only one. That's what it was. Yaakov sort of admitted that he was Yaakov, and he had absorbed into him Esav. He didn't mean to fool his father. He wanted to create new ground rules, which he learned about from his mother. And Yitzchak apparently was a very optimistic kind of person, because he was righteous.
But then when Esav came in, he became very emotional. What did he realize when he became very emotional? That he was wrong at that point when Esav came in?
Well, I guess he thought he was going to get something, and then he realized that he wasn't.
No, but also Yitzchak becomes very emotional. He shakes.
Okay, because I think because Yitzchak thought there was hope.
And now he loses the hope.
Yeah.
So Abraham thought there was hope there. So Abraham thought there was hope in Ishmael to took Sarah to send him away, and Yitzhak thought there was hope to took Rivka to send him away.
Correct.
Both cases, both families have people thrown away.
But the difference is that Esav was a twin, whereas Ishmael was not even from the same mother. I mean, there's a difference. Exactly, you know, to define the difference, we really talk about that, but there is an obvious difference. It was easier for Abraham than it was for Yitzchak. Yitzchak also, we don't have, Abraham never davened for children. Abraham was just promised children. And he didn't believe that he would have children with Sarah, but he did. It was all miraculous, but he didn't daven for a child, which Yitzchak and Rivka did do. So there are differences. There is similarity, yes, but there are also differences. Okay.